Brought to you by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis, this edition highlights key LinkedIn posts on field marketing in WEX 22 and 23. Frenis supports clients with identifying target attendees for events, crafting outreach that cuts through the noise, and driving qualified registrations through strategic LinkedIn engagement. You can find more info in the description.
And we are so excited to get into this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So to set the stage for you, our mission for this deep dive is to, you know, really cut through the fluff. We are looking at the top field marketing trends that popped up across LinkedIn during calendar weeks 22 and 23.
Right, of 2026.
Exactly. And we're strictly focusing on actionable strategic insights for B2B marketing professionals who actually want to drive real pipeline. Because honestly, the whole build it and they will come era of event marketing, it's completely dead.
Oh, totally dead. I mean, we've treated field marketing as this like sanctioned vacation from their office or just this vague brand awareness exercise for decades.
Right. Let's hand out some branded pens and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. But Manpreet Wadhwan summarized the macro shift here perfectly in his post. He basically argues that leading teams, they no longer view events as these isolated marketing activities.
So they aren't just one-off things anymore.
No, not at all. They engineer them as full end-to-end revenue programs. You have to, you know, build the pipeline before the event, accelerate it during the event, and then actually convert it after.
Which is such a massive shift in how the work is weighted. Like if your strategy is entirely centered on what happens when the exhibit hall doors open at, say, 9 a.m. on Tuesday,
Yeah. You're
just paying for a very, very expensive real estate.
You're just renting space. The actual revenue is secured in that pre-event phase.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are partnering with sales development reps weeks in advance to pre-book meeting rooms using intent data and setting the agenda before a single badge is even printed.
And speaking of treating it like a real revenue engine, I have to bring up Sunil Nirgaonkar's post about Adopt AI because this blew my mind.
Oh, the budget shift.
Yes. Because digital channels are getting so saturated and so expensive, Sunil moved a massive 80% of his go-to-market budget into field marketing.
80%. I mean, just let that sink in for a second.
It sounds wild, right? Like in a modern marketing environment where I can track every single millisecond of a digital ad click, dumping that much of your budget into in-person handshakes sounds, well, almost reckless.
It does. It looks completely reckless until you until you actually examine the customer acquisition costs across those digital channels right now.
Right.
Digital is just prohibitively expensive. Buyers are totally exhausted by the noise. So the physical channel, even with a higher upfront cost, it has a dramatically higher win rate. But, you know, Sunil uses this really strict crawl, walk, run framework to make sure he's actually getting predictable ROI.
Which makes sense. You can't just drop millions on a mega booth on day one. You have to size the bet to your company's stage.
Exactly. And Alexandra Panyakina actually posted a brilliant breakdown that connects right to this. She talked about shifting from, what did she call it, random acts of events to a true go-to-market engine. Her core argument is that success just has to be based on closed won revenue outcomes.
Right. No more vanity metrics.
Yeah. No more counting how many people spun a prize wheel. It has to tie back to closed won deals.
Okay. But let me push back on this just a little bit or play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
Are we maybe treating live events too much like a digital ad click now? Like if we squeeze every single handshake for a mathematically measurable ROI, do we risk suffocating that organic, serendipitous networking that makes live events magical in the first place?
You mean the random hallway bump in?
Yeah. The random conversation at the hotel bar that turns into a $1 million partnership. Do we lose that?
It's a fair question, but tracking revenue doesn't kill serendipity. It really just ensures you are being serendipitous in the right room.
Ah, I see what you mean.
Right, because a random hallway conversation is only valuable if the person you bump into is actually in your ideal customer profile. If you're in a hallway full of, you know, junior practitioners who can't sign a contract, all the serendipity in the world isn't going to generate pipeline.
Which flows perfectly into the next big theme we saw in these weeks. Pre-event intelligence. Like, how do you know exactly who is in that room before you even book your flight?
Yes. The audience intelligence piece is huge right now.
And Jess Hopp shared the statistic that is just, it's terrifying, honestly. She noted that 70% of teams are choosing events without actually knowing who will be there.
70%. That is just throwing money into the wind.
It really is. It's like renting out a massive restaurant for a dinner party, right? And you don't even know if your guests live in the same city, let alone if they're even hungry.
That is the perfect analogy. And, you know, Warwick D. expanded on this exact problem. He pointed out that sophisticated exhibitors, They don't even care about audience volume anymore.
They don't care if there are 50,000 people there.
Exactly. They care about buyer concentration. You aren't buying generic exposure anymore. You are buying access to the top 50 buyers in your specific market.
Right, because if you have a niche show with 1,000 people, but 800 of them hold the budget for your software, that's way better than a massive convention where you have to hunt for your buyers.
But the hunting part, that's still a painful reality for a lot of teams. Rachel Ann had this great, super relatable post about their reality check of event prep.
Oh, the spreadsheet post.
Yes. She said that somewhere, right now, there is a VP of sales toggling between an exhibitor list and LinkedIn like a day trader.
Just manually cross-referencing names, spending hours trying to guess who might be at the show. We have all been that person or managed that person.
We absolutely have. But modern event teams are finally fixing this. Alex Reynolds posted about how you have to lean into the technical side of event go-to-market.
Because you can't just do it with human relationship building anymore.
Right. You use tools to score like 10,000 attendees in minutes before a single badge is even printed. You pipe that raw registration list through an API, cross-reference it with your CRM and intent data, and boom.
You instantly know who your top 50 targets are. Okay, yeah. So once you've done all that intelligence work and you know mathematically that your buyers are walking around the building, a pressure totally shifts, right?
Yeah. Now you have to actually engage them.
Exactly. How do you get them to stop at your booth instead of just, you know, walking right past you to get a coffee? Which brings us to theme 3. Booths need to drive conversations, not just visibility.
People are so blind to standard booths now. They don't stop for products. They stop for experiences.
They really do. And the best example of this, I loved this post, came from Elliot Akula and Jenna Booth talking about their activation at SHOW2SHOW for Silencer Shop.
Oh, the Airstream.
Yes. They completely ditched the standard polished corporate box booth. Instead, they built a fully immersive Airstream trailer park right on the show floor.
Which is just so bold.
It was a massive tribute to their specific audience. It had a working podcast studio, live music, a custom hat bar. They totally broke the category norms. And it drove 4,000 B2B leads and tripled their on-site sales.
Tripled. Just by creating a destination instead of a display. You have to contrast that with what Ed Billett observed. He pointed out that a company can spend $1 million on a booth, but it fails entirely, completely fails, if the sales reps just stand in a circle talking to each other.
Which happens all the time. You walk past these gorgeous, expensive booths, and the reps are just staring at their phones.
Right, because the reps have to deliver a story worth stopping for. Meghan Martin brought up a great perspective on this, too. She highlighted a brand that took a tiny 10x10 booth and turned it into a live content studio.
Oh, that's smart. So instead of just scanning badges, they're creating content.
Exactly. The questions people ask on the floor, those become your next campaign. The booth becomes this engine for first-party data. It's an active interaction, not a passive one.
Okay, but again, let me ask if everyone starts doing this right. If everyone builds Airstream trailer parks and live podcast studios, does the show floor just become a completely chaotic, noisy circus?
This is definitely a risk.
Like, at what point does a simple, clear message actually win out over a massive spectacle? Angela Gallick brought this up, and I think it's a great point. She said sometimes just 3 clear words. Her example was acquire, invest, operate. That wins seconds of attention way better than some complex, noisy activation.
She's totally right. I mean, whether you build a literal trailer park or you just have a minimalist wall with 3 words, none of that experiential magic actually matters if the operational gears behind the scenes are grinding to a halt.
Exactly. Which brings us to our final theme, the invisible operations and the post-event orchestration.
The stuff the attendees never, ever see.
Right. Ian Morrison shared this powerful anecdote about how good event management is entirely invisible. He talked about this festival back in 2013 where 2 massive trucks of gear went missing on a flooded highway.
Oh yeah, and the riot squad was literally on standby.
Yes. It was a total nightmare behind the scenes. But the team solved it, the bands walked out on stage just 3 minutes late, and 82,000 fans had absolutely no idea anything went wrong.
That is the gold standard for B2B events too.
Mm-hmm.
The prospect should never feel the operational friction. But, you know, Harsha R. pointed out that most event ROI isn't actually lost on the trade show floor when the Wi-Fi goes down or whatever.
Really? Where is it lost?
It's lost in the 72 hours after the event.
Oh, the follow-up.
Yeah. The moment completely dies when all those hard-earned badge scans just sit in a spreadsheet waiting for cleanup while the very first follow-up email goes out, like, 5 days late.
Right, and by then, the prospect has totally forgotten who you are. Jerry Abayog had a fantastic strategy for this. He said, we have to stop measuring badge scans and start measuring remembered conversations.
I love that phrasing, remembered conversations.
Right. A contact only becomes a relationship when you remember specific nuances. Like, oh, this prospect's favorite bourbon is Maker's Mark. Or they love this specific football team.
Because if you just scan a badge, it's just a name.
Exactly. It's like going on an incredible, highly engaging first date and then sending a generic, to whom it may concern, text message 5 days later.
Oh, that's brutal. But it's so true.
The magic is entirely in the personalized details. You have to capture that immediately before the memory fades.
And you use tech to do that now, right? Voice to text into the CRM the second the prospect walks away.
Yep. Completely automate the busy work so you can focus on the human connection. Which actually leads to a final, slightly provocative thought I want to leave you all with, inspired by Amanda Crawford's post.
This was a great takeaway.
It really was. So everyone right now is talking about what AI will replace. But Amanda suggests we should look at what it makes more valuable. And what it makes infinitely more valuable is human interaction.
Because as AI handles all those repetitive workflows, the lead scoring, the CRM cleanup, It makes human trust so much more critical.
Exactly. What if the ultimate event strategy for the future isn't about out-tetching the competition on the floor? What if it's about using tech just enough in the background so you can be relentlessly, authentically human when you are face-to-face with your buyer?
I mean, that is the whole game right there.
It really is. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, go-to-market, channel marketing, MarTech, social selling, and AI in B2B marketing.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Make sure to subscribe, and we will catch you next time.